they were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, and joined in. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One evening, Adam and Eve sat reflecting on the mystery of their creation. And Adam said to Eve, "You know, there's more to the story than what's written down." And Eve said, "Oh, tell me, dear." So Adam persisted to say, "Well, you know, after God made the animals and saw that none of them fulfilled my needs for companionship, and none of them were a worthy equal to me, God said, 'Adam, I can give you, I can make for you the perfect companion. She will satisfy all of your needs and longings, and you will live blissfully happy together until death.'" And Adam said, "That's amazing, God. Now, what's something like that's going to cost you?" And God said, "All I will redeem from you is an arm and a leg." Adam thought for a moment and said, "What can you get me for a rib?" Of course, Eve said, "Oh, dear sweetie, that is how God allows you to remember this. But you have to remember, before I was formed, God had already brought my soul into being. And as he began to fashion my body and he looked at you, he said, 'I can be better.'" One of the consistencies between the Hebrew Testament and the Christian Testaments of Scripture, the Old and the New, throughout all of the Bible, we can discern, we see clearly that we are made for community. We are made to be drawn out of ourselves. It's the beauty of the sacrament, the vocation of marriage. It fulfills that desire to be drawn out of ourselves, to be united with another. But of course, that in itself is just a foreshadowing of the ultimate union. We are made for union with God. But in our lives today, it is so much easier to just write someone off as irreconcilable differences. That happens so frequently in marriages that fall apart in divorce. It happens as well, much more often, in our other relationships, in our other failed friendships, and even those missed opportunities to establish relationships. at first sign of disagreement, rather than listen for a truth or common cause or a way to progress forward together. We live in a time when we would much rather simply write someone off and force a larger chasm between us. And this isn't just limited to politics. It happens in so much of our daily discourse. We are called for communion, and we are called and made for community, that we cannot discount anyone. That means even those who disagree with us, those we cannot see or have not yet seen. We must even respect our enemies and those who are condemned criminals. On this first Sunday of October, we are called to respect life. And sometimes we think that's such an easy phrase. We've got that. We understand God is the author of life. He creates us and he calls us ultimately into union. We can easily respect life. But true respect of life is not easy at all. Yes, it's true. We cannot and will not negotiate or compromise the respect of the unborn. That from the first moment of creation, there is a mystery which can only be reflected by the magnificence of God. That we also must learn a great respect for the old and the aged, for those that we might easily write off as simply being useless, like each and every breath is a gift from God. In fact, the word breath in Hebrew is the same word we translate as spirit. The spirit which earlier in the first account in Genesis hovered over the waters and brought calm from the chaos. Each and every breath is a gift from God. But our respect of life does not stop there. Our respect of life draws us even forward further to respect those who are condemned criminals, to recognize they too share breath from God. And our system, our justice system, must not just be punitive, but must work towards restoration. There is a place for a restorative justice system. That criminals are not simply prosecuted and punished, but they are brought to a place at the table. They are formed or reformed and nurtured and respected. Of course, it's easy to go to those other places. We can all respect babies, we can all respect the aged, and we can even learn to respect of criminals, but it becomes much harder when we have to respect even those that disagree with us. Rather than write them off, rather than belittle or simply tune them out in the respect of life, we are called to listen to one another, to listen to the other. And perhaps there is no other greater than someone who does not share the same experience or opinion as we do. And in that listening, to discern a way, a journey forward together. This is not easy. But this is the challenge that Jesus set before the disciples and the Pharisees and the scribes. He would not let them bow to a loophole, a legality, in compromising the dignity of the union of holy matrimony. He would not let the disciples ignore those who would otherwise be considered invisible. Children, in pulling a child as to the center of the group, this was taking someone who was virtually invisible in time and placing them at the center, reminding them and us, that our actions, our behavior, impact even those we won't see, even those we would have no idea existed. As Christians, as those entrusted with the mission of respecting life in our time, how important it is for us to root ourselves in the recognition of Christ's abiding presence here in this Eucharist, that our eyes opened to that magnificence of God's eternal presence in the midst of our sacrament, and then sent and nourished to continue the work of entrusted to Adam and Eve to continue to cooperate with the mystery of creation. As we open our eyes to Christ, may it help us as well to open our eyes to the ways in which we can grow in our respective life. That with every breath of our own, with every action of our own, we might work towards a full, complete, and more abundant respect to the mystery of God's creation. Remembering that each and every person is knit together in the image and likeness of God, and that each and every person is an opportunity to form community rooted in the same mystery which brings us here tonight, Christ, body and blood.